Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Well, great. Yeah, I'm very thankful to be able to share with you today. And just a word that the Lord laid in my heart that would be something special for a day like today. The word I have is, the cross is sufficient. And we're going to spend time in the book of Colossians this morning because the theme of Colossians is the sufficiency and the supremacy of Christ and of the finished work of the cross. So if you guys that have got your Bibles here today, if you'd like to just turn to the book of Colossians and you can just hang there for the rest of my preach. Do you know why today is called Good Friday? When I was little, I'm asking that question because when I was a lattie, I was brought up in a very staunch Catholic home, and Friday, Good Friday, was a very somber day, and I always felt the heaviness, heaviness of Good Friday. And then I'd say to my mom, I'd say, Mom, tell me, why do they call this day Good Friday? Because Jesus died in such a cruel, horrific way. I don't understand. Why is it called Good Friday? And then my mom, bless her, she would do her best to try and explain to me in some sort of mumble-jumble way, that never quite put my heart at rest in terms of Good Friday. And my mom's, by the way, she's 103, and she's still going strong. She's a great woman of faith. It's amazing to have a mom like the one that I have. But today I understand more fully why today is called Good Friday and why it's a day to rejoice and celebrate. Because through the cross, Jesus defeated every single enemy on our behalf, past, present, and future. And so, in Colossians, Paul makes it clear that we are saved by grace and not by observing any outward man-made regulations, any rituals or rules. And that salvation comes only through the cross. The cross of Christ plus nothing, the cross of Christ minus nothing. And the fact that God sent Jesus to come and save us is an absolute demonstration of the amazing love and grace of God. So today I would like to explain more fully why Jesus and the cross of Christ is more than sufficient for all of our needs. And from the moment that we are saved, from the moment we put our faith in Jesus, we immediately enter into victory through the power of the cross, by which Jesus overcame and defeated every single enemy. This morning I just want to touch on the five major enemies that, more importantly, that Jesus has overcome and defeated on our behalf, and through his precious blood, which he shed for us on Good Friday. The first enemy I want to talk about is the enemy above. The enemy above. Before we were saved, we were under the law, and we were judged by the law. When we are saved, Jesus removes the law. He removes the law from our lives. Now let's go to Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15. If we can just have that up on the overhead. Okay, so there it is. When you were dead in your sins And in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Isn't that amazing? The written code. We'll come, just hold number 15 for the moment. Okay, we're going to come there just now. So, isn't that amazing? So, the law was there simply to reveal our guilt before God. And there are only two ways that we can get to heaven. We either have to be perfect and have to be able to obey everything in the written law of Moses and not even sin once in our entire lives. We have to be perfect like Jesus. But we know that's impossible because we were born into original sin. Or the only other way that we can get to heaven is if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If we are born again, acknowledge and believe that He did it all on our behalf on the cross and that He achieved the victory for us. And God gave us the law so that we could look into it as in a mirror and know that we have failed and know that we desperately need Jesus and know that we cannot keep this law which is above us, which inhibits a free relationship with the Father, because we can never get it right. We're always doing something wrong, and every time we do something wrong, it's like, oh Lord, and something comes between us and the fellowship is broken. But when Jesus came, He fulfilled that law perfectly for us in every single way. He fulfilled the law. And then when He died for us, He took that same law and He nailed it to the cross. We are saved by grace so that no one can boast. Isn't that amazing? The law was fulfilled by Jesus, and He took it and nailed it to the cross. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. We have been set free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Isn't that amazing? Free, we are free. And so, it says in 2 Corinthians 6, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I now live by grace, which is God's unmerited, unearned favor. The enemy that was above me, that stopped me from having an intimate, constant, a free relationship, an ongoing relationship with my Father, has been destroyed. I can now have an amazing, personal, intimate relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And whenever I do something that I believe is not right, I don't allow myself to grovel down there. I don't allow myself to let the enemy separate me from my relationship with my dad, because I know that Jesus paid a high price for me to maintain that ongoing relationship. That's what He paid the price for. Ongoing, perfect relationship with our dad. Let's grab some water. Are you guys okay there? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to go on to the second enemy. The enemy that's beneath us, the devil. Okay, I'm a bit croaky, eh? Okay, the enemy beneath us, the devil. So can we now go to that Colossians 2, verse 15? There we go. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Wow. So we see there that it takes me back to the picture in Roman times. It would be common to see the various legions marching back from their conquests, wherever, in Gaul or in one of the provinces, and they would always lead captives in the train, right at the back. All the poor guys that had been defeated, and in chains and whatever, whatever. And they'd look like a really sorry lot. And and you find that the people would shout and cheer for their army, but they were very nasty to the captives. And God wants us to know that the devil and all his demons have been conquered through the cross. The enemy beneath us has been defeated. Sometimes as Christians, we pay far too much attention to the devil and we blame him for everything that goes wrong in our lives. When we go through difficulties, it's not always the devil. More often than not, we get ourselves into some serious jams. And God doesn't always remove the obstacles and the difficulties and the hardships, because he wants to teach us rather and train us and equip us to be overcomers, so that we can learn to overcome every obstacle, that we can grow, we can mature, strengthen our faith in him, and learn to trust him, because he is faithful and trustworthy. God is more interested in our character than in our comfort. I say that again. God is more interested in our character than in our comfort, which is the opposite, because we're always interested in our comfort rather than our character. The devil is a defeated foe, and he does not have the authority unless we freely give that authority to him. Thank God that we don't have to fight the devil, because without God, we would certainly lose every time. But as believers, we walk in the reality of the victories that Jesus has already achieved on our behalf. We resist the devil in the name of Jesus, and he must flee every single time without any exception. God really loves seeing us defeat his enemies using all the powerful and mighty spiritual weapons which he gave us, which we constantly have at our disposal at any time. You can read that in Ephesians 6. So that's the enemy beneath us that has been defeated. The third enemy that's been defeated is the enemy around us. That's the world. The enemy around us. Colossians 2:20-22. Okay, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Amen. So, we see there that when we are born again, we die to the principles of this world. And so the world no longer has a hold on us, as the enemy around us has been defeated. We don't have to worry that we may wake up one morning and be backslidden because we're dead to the world. When we go into the world, on the other hand, the world is desperately seeking what we already have, but they're frantically looking everywhere but to the cross of Christ. The world desperately wants what we have. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. As born-again believers, we are in this world to influence it with the gospel. Jesus' mission statement in John 10, verse 10, says, "The enemy has come to kill, to steal, and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life to overflowing." And if that's Jesus' mission statement, then that is also our mission statement. So where there is death, we bring life. Where there is theft, robbery, and injustice, we freely give of what we have, because freely we have received. Where there's destruction in people's lives, we rebuild the ruins. We are the restorers of streets with dwellings. This is how we enforce the victory that Jesus has won for us. This is how we enforce that victory. We aren't here to be victims of the world. We aren't running and hiding from the world. We aren't afraid, because Jesus has overcome the world for us. And when we go into the world and focus on being used by God, we positively impact people of the world with the power of the coming kingdom. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world for you. And so in our heart we go out to bring love. We go out to restore. We go out to give. We go out to rebuild and enforce the victory that Jesus has won for us. We are not afraid of the world. We love the world. We want to impact the world. And we want to be relevant and bring the power of the coming kingdom to this world. Amen. Okay, I'm on to the fourth enemy now. The fourth enemy is the enemy behind us. The enemy behind us. Jesus defeated the enemy behind us, which is our past. Completely defeated. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The cross has defeated my past. The enemy behind me is defeated once and for all. From the moment I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I was set free from my past, irrespective of what I had done or what I had not done. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I remember your sins no more. Isaiah 43, verse 25. One thing that you can do that God cannot do is remember your sins. The enemy, though, always wants to dig them up. God has buried them. He's removed them. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed every sin, every transgression from us. But there's an enemy who wants to find them, dig them up, and bring them, and hang them in front of you so that you are immobilized. Because as long as you have regrets, as long as you believe that your past is affecting your future, then it's hard for you to move into a glorious future with God. We have to know that we know that we know that our past has been dealt with. That God wants us to move. Every day we look back and say, thank you for yesterday, God, but it's in the past. Today is a new day, new mercies. Today is the day that I can continue to move into my glorious future with God, forgetting what is behind, as Paul said, and straining forward into everything that God has for me. Amen. So, friends, our enemy that's behind us is also defeated. And I'm on to the last enemy. The enemy within, the flesh. So, could we have Colossians 2, verse 8 to 12, please? See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ Jesus. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Isn't that like such poetry? It's beautiful. And Paul points out in that scripture that the putting off of the sinful nature is impossible to achieve through external traditions, Only through the completed work of the cross, which we receive through faith in the finished work and through the blood of Jesus. It cannot be put off in the flesh or through rules, rituals, or anything that is of man-made tradition. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So friends, the cross of Christ has overcome the flesh. Our old self, our sinful nature was put to death. It was crucified with Christ. It can no longer control us. When we were unsaved, we were slaves to sin. A slave is work for no pay. But now that we're saved, we are saved to righteousness, which is permanent right standing and permanent relationship with God. Now, friends, we are free to live our lives by faith with a new nature through the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, verse 14. So friends, the enemy above, the law, has been defeated. Unbroken fellowship with the Father. So friends, the enemy beneath has been defeated. The devil. Fear no evil. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So friends, the enemy that was around us has been defeated. But Jesus said, do not be concerned, for I have overcome the world. And I want you to go into the world and love the world and impact the world. The fourth enemy is the enemy behind us, our past, defeated. As far as the east is from the west, so far have our sins been removed from us. Never allow our past to affect our future. Cut the ties. Cut everything so that we can move into a glorious future. And lastly, the enemy within, the sinful nature, crucified with Christ on the cross. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, the hope of glory. So we've received all these amazing victories through the cross by faith, and every enemy has been vanquished, past tense. That's why I'm at peace today, understanding why we call today Good Friday. It is Good Friday, friends. And so I want to end there, and I just felt that a couple of things for us. Just to pray for anyone who's struggling with any of these areas that I've mentioned, and